Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Connecting Women in Insurance with me, your host Julie. This podcast highlights the journeys of extraordinary women throughout the insurance industry. If you haven't already, please like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Without further ado, let's jump right in. Joining me today is Ms. Joanna Ferris, who goes by Jo. She is the CEO and president at TSI Adjusters, Inc. Thank you for joining me today, Joanna.
Thank you, Julie, for having me. I'm honored to be here.
So, Jo, tell me a little bit about what you do on a day-to-day basis there at TSI.
So I oversee the whole organization. I have a wonderful team that we work with regularly, just making sure that the ebbs and flows of business are happening the way it needs to happen. Mm-hmm. I try to maintain a good relationship with all of our clients. I'm a lot of that point person when it comes to dealing directly with clients and things like that. But overall, I just maintain that day-to-day business activity operations part of TSI and just lead our team leads the best that I can to ensure that we're producing a great product for our clients.
So what exactly does TSI do?
So we're an independent adjusting firm, very much like you guys.
Okay.
And we service claims throughout the country.
Okay.
We basically do all lines of insurance claims and just provide that one-on-one, you know, adjuster going out, inspecting losses, whether it's property, liability. We do have an auto division that we work with. Commercial claims, you name it, we do it. TPA services, desk adjuster. So just that one-stop shop for the insurance company.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So what made you decide on a career in the insurance industry? I mean, did you leave high school and think, ooh, I want to get an insurance?
You know, I wrote this statement down the other day because I feel like it resonated so much with us in insurance. It's so often we follow opportunity because it is presented to us, not because we really want it. So no, I did not really want a career in insurance. I had no idea. So really what happened was I was managing an electrical company at the time. Okay. And my husband was retired law enforcement and he had a private investigation company where they were doing a lot of workman's comp fraud, different investigations for insurance companies, servicing summons and subpoenas for lawyers and stuff.
Right.
And he was presented when one of the storms hit in Florida. It wasn't Wilma. I think it was the one right before that. But one of the big storms had hit and the one of the claims managers had known Rocky for years and said, hey, I need some guys, you know, with this legal background that can carry cash down for us. This was back in the day when they were for ALE, for insurers, they were actually giving out cash.
Okay.
Because the insurers couldn't cash checks, you know, and all of that stuff. So he was hired to carry down a bunch of bags of cash. And so when he got down to South Florida, he was with this guy at the time and he looked on the guy's desk and he saw a fee schedule. And he goes, what's that? And the guy goes, that's a fee schedule. And he said, well, who gets paid that money? And he was like, an adjuster. He goes, what's an adjuster? And the guy told him, and he was like, well, how do I do that? So for anybody that knows my husband, Rocky was always well-known in the industry. You know, he is the go-getter when it comes to this stuff. He's like, well, how do I do that? And he said, well, you have to get a license. He's like, you don't know anything about claims. You're not going to do this. And he was like, yeah, I will. He's like, just tell me what I got to do. He goes, if I do this, will you, you know, give me work? And the guy was like, you don't know what you're doing, you know? So he calls me up. He said, hey, I'm doing this. Do you want to do it with me? And I was like, why not? Now, mind you, I was still working at the electrical company. So I went to the class, took the course. He did the same thing. And he called the guy and said, hey, you know, I got my license. I want you to stay true to your word and give me some work. And he was like, you don't know what you're doing, who you're going to have help you do this. He said, don't worry about that. I'll find the people. So the company I was working with had always told me, hey, you're going to have downtime and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So if you want to work on some other stuff, we're totally okay with it. Well, I took that seriously. So I would work that during the day. And if I had downtime, I would log into my computer and do stuff. So the guy held true to his word. He ended up giving us, I think it was like 1,000 claims. Well, not all at once, but like, right, you know, over a period of time. And they were all storm claims still, because I think this was Wilma stuff we were ended up starting with. And so, of course, I had no idea what I was doing, except I am an operations person. Like, I can figure stuff out and I can make things run good, but I will find people who know way more than I do and try to surround myself with them so I can pick up the phone and call them what I need. And so my husband at the time had called who he thought was an adjuster, and the guy said, I can't help you. He's like, I'm a public adjuster. He's like, I don't do this. And like, he was rocking. He's like, well, what is that? You know? So it was just really funny. So he's like, let me give you people who can't help you, you know?
Right.
So we ended up finding some independent adjusters. And of course, all of these people were well experienced, knew what they were doing. One of them, Gary Carmichael is his name, was with us from the very beginning. And he was already like at the time, probably a 25-year adjuster living in South Florida. I have a couple of other adjusters that we still keep in touch with to this day, or even use to this day, that helped us in that very beginning. And mm-hmm. they were just so resourceful for me to be able to pick up the phone, ask questions, tell me what something meant. They would give me or somebody would use a terminology on the phone, and insurance company, I'd be like, what the heck? You know, there's so many of these OTR, this, that. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I don't even think I knew what HO3 was at the time. I think I had to learn that. So anyways, I would write it down and call these people, and they would just walk me through stuff and help mm-hmm. me do it. And so that is pretty much how we got into it. When I was at the electrical company, I'll never forget, I showed up one day, and my boss at the time, he goes, hey, we need to talk. And I was like, okay. And he goes, you're fired. And I was like, what? I'm like, I'm fired? And he was like, you've been working on, I don't know what it is. I guess they had the IT guy come in, and I had been working on their computer with TSI stuff at the time. And so he was like, you've been working on TSI stuff while you're on our watch here, our clock. Right. And I was like, well, yeah, you told me I could do my own stuff if it was slow enough. And he was like, well, you're not, that's not okay. You know, so he fired me. I remember, like, of course, mind you, we weren't making money yet, really. We were just getting started. So where that office was like 5 minutes from my parents' house. I was a bawling mess. I go to my mom, I'm like, I just got fired. And she was like, what? You know, and of course I had called my husband, and he was like, don't worry about it. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. And mm-hmm. of course I was like, right. You know, I had no belief at that time. But he's like, just get your stuff and get over here and get to work. I'm like, okay. So I manned up really quick, got my tears out, and, you know, it was like, okay, I'm going to work. And mm-hmm. so that's what we did. We were able to do that. Unfortunately, that company that had given us the claims ended up going out of business, because they were just one of those companies right. in Florida that folded, which happens. And so at that point, you know, we kind of looked at each other and we're like, oh, now what, you know? And so at the time, he and I were sharing an office. I don't recommend ever doing that with your spouse. There no. were some moments that I wanted to, we both did want to kill each other, but we were sharing an office, and he was like, okay, if we can just get one claim a day, that's all mm-hmm. we need to be able to, you know, afford your salary and whatnot. That was all we needed. So we were like, all right, that's our mission. We're going to get one claim a day. So we started reaching out to companies. There were some local companies that he knew of, and was able to get some appointments with. There was a company in Virginia that he was like, I'm going to try, you know, to get up there and get an appointment with. He's like, just keep running the operations. You know, I'm like, okay. So that's what we did. And we just kind of fell into it. And here we are almost 21 years later. My husband stepped down about 10 years ago, and that's when I moved up into the president CEO part of the company, and I've been operating it ever since alongside with, I call her my sister-in-law. She's technically is, but was married to my brother. But she and I have known each other since we were, I think I was 12 when I met her. And so we've worked together, you know, alongside each other since 2008 is when she started. And so she's an owner as well. And yeah, we have two women running it and a bunch of women under us that work with us and are just awesome team that we put together of ladies. We do have men. I'm not ashamed to say we have men. We have some great men at that. But yeah, so that's where we're at today.
That is awesome. And you know, one reason I wanted to start this podcast was to highlight the fact that the insurance industry is, for the most part, anybody will help you. I mean, there's a few people that won't, but But that's in any industry. But like you said, you called the adjusters when you didn't have an answer. When I first started reviewing claims, like I would be like, I don't know why this line item's in here, and I couldn't figure it out at the time. I would be like, I don't know, I don't understand. So I would call, and the adjusters would explain things to me, walk me through, tell me where it was in the policy. They were just awesome, like awesome. And they've helped me when I did boot camps and at the training house, they would show up and help me with the class. So this is a wonderful industry to get into if you are looking for a career. But anyway, I think that's really great how you call them for help, but then you're able to turn around and give them work. I mean, it's a full circle thing in this industry. So kudos to
for
you guys.
Sure. For sure.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool how y'all did that. I really like that, how you just jumped in there and did it. So in all this trying to figure it out, sharing an office with your husband, all the ups and downs, did you ever make a decision or a mistake and you thought, okay, well, that just ended everything. We're going to have to start from scratch. Oh, my God. But you learned a valuable lesson that helped you later in your career or helped you help someone else in theirs.
For sure. I know I've made lots of decisions that I wish I could take back or thought, this is it.
Right. Done.
I don't know if I could just sit and pinpoint one right now that jumps out at me. But I will say, I think every decision that I've made, good or bad, but we'll say the ones that I would consider bad, were always learning lessons and turning points, right? Because mistakes to me are just learning lessons, right? Mm-hmm. We're all going to make mistakes. I have made so many in this journey, mm-hmm. That I wish I could, like I said, take back. But at the end of the day, it was just a learning lesson for me. Sure, we've made decisions that affected relationships with clients, or, you know, something didn't go the way we anticipated and made a bad decision, or the way I handled a situation with an adjuster or even an employee, you know, so many things like that, that I have had to sit back and go, could have done that better, should have done that better. And where it puts me now in this position is being able to help those that are our team leads and or people that aren't in that leadership role yet. But A, saying I made the mistake, I think that's first and foremost, calling myself out and owning it, you know.
I agree.
I'm not afraid to do that in any way, shape, or form. And you can ask anybody on our team. And I'm not saying that to brag. It's just somewhere I've had to get in life. Like, I know I'm not perfect.
Right.
But showing that vulnerability to our team and then just saying, hey, this is what I should have done better. This is how I could have done it better.
Mm-hmm.
And then now when I see somebody doing or making those same mistakes that I am, I'm able to spot it. You know, they've got that saying, you spot it, you got it. If I've done it, I can go, whoa, let's look at that again.
Right.
And helping them through it to see what that end result may end up being versus, you know, saving them from where
right.
I was at. And so I think that's probably the biggest way in how I look at any of those decisions that I have made that, oh man, you know, when you are the business owner and everybody's coming to you, you have a lot of sleepless nights of, did I handle that right? Did I do this right? You know, how could I have done this better? And yeah, those 3 a.m. wake up calls are not fun.
But you're right. They are, mistakes are going to happen, and they are absolutely there for us to learn from them. And we can either humble ourselves and take the lesson, or we can be arrogant and fall from it. You know, I mean, it's no fun to admit you were wrong
No.
or you made the mistake, but I do think it allows you, to be seen from your employees or by your employees in a very different light, and they respect you more than a boss who will not admit that they've made a mistake or are wrong. about something. So, you know, I appreciate you admitting that, because it is hard for people, especially as they get further up and more people are under them. It's, I think sometimes think, oh, I can't let anybody know I made a mistake. No, you absolutely should let them know you made the mistake and how you corrected it and how you're going to move forward from it, because they will learn from that, and they will, I'm sure you've seen it. They see you differently and they respect you more, you know?
For sure.
I love that. So who was or is the most influential person in your life and career, and why?
I have several. My husband is definitely one of them. He is just very supportive, very, very much one of those people who, if I'm doubting myself, stop, don't do that. You know, like, you got this, you can do this. I remember even when he kind of handed the keys over to me, I was like, I don't think I can do this. I've never been in a position like this before. And he was like, you can do this, you know, and he just gave me that empowerment. For sure, my parents, you know, my dad and mom have always believed me and supported me. They both work with us still. And so that's kind of cool to have them still there, you know, supporting and working with us. And then I had a mentor. She's probably in her 80s now, but I started working with her probably about 15, 17 years ago. And she held me accountable. She made me do the hard stuff when I didn't want to. And just always pushed me past what I was thought I was capable of. A lot of that, you know, came down to just everyday business stuff of, hey, you need to address that situation. You're going to do it. You're going to call me when it's done. So you told me you got it done, you know, and it's going to be uncomfortable. Or no, you're going to pick up the phone and call. So it was just that accountability that she kind of pushed those buttons for me. And it just made me stronger, more confident, and helped me along the way. So I've had several people now within the industry and the organization itself and insurance. There's so many, like you said, people out there that are willing to help. And I could list so many people as far as that goes, just anybody that's given us opportunity that didn't know us, but also pour into me. Like if I say I don't know, they'll take the time to explain it to me if I don't understand it, you know, and they don't have to do that, but they enjoy it. And we know insurance can be boring sometimes, but I like to understand what I'm doing. So, just so many people in the industry, I feel like, and even other people in the marketing world. And there's a couple of girls I can think of right now that have been, I mean, just instrumental and always being kind, always being sincere, always being willing to introduce, you know, to potential clients or just other people within our industry so that that network continues to grow. And I will say, I love that about our industry. I love that. Yes, sure, there are those catty, you know, women out there, as we like to call them, whatever. But for the most part, everybody is just, hey, come meet so-and-so. And it can be my competitor, you know? And that's what I love, too. There's just the good camaraderie of everybody working together. And I've learned so much from people like that, too, that aren't cutthroat all the time when it comes to, you know, let me step on you to get to the top.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. So, what advice would you give women listening today who want to move forward in their careers, no matter the industry they're in?
So much I would love to give. I think,
we'll take the biggest one. We've got time.
I know, but first and foremost, I think I would love to tell women to shut down the biggest voice in their head. And I feel like that's our own critical voice that's inside of our heads. I've really started trying to ask myself this question is, when I hear the negative self-talk I give to myself, I go, would I tell my friend that if they were asking me something?
Oh, that's
and
good.
I'm always like, no, I wouldn't sit there and tell my friend that. And here I am telling myself all these negative things, you know? And I think that's I'll speak for myself. I'm not going to speak for anybody else. I'll speak for myself. I will say that that's probably my biggest you know, hold back sometimes is that voice that just plays over, but are you doing this right? Is that the way to go? You know, questioning, that doubting, or you're not really good at that. Don't waste your time at that, you know, whatever. And so I would love for women to just embrace the fact that they are worth it. You know, they are worth the very best. They are worth God's very best. You know, he put us on this earth for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And I believe finding that purpose and holding true to your dream, whatever that is, mm-hmm. do it. Don't let the voice inside your head talk you out of it. And I think a lot of those voices sometimes come from so many different things in our childhood. It doesn't have to be a parent. It could have been a teacher that said something. Mm-hmm. It could have been friends that made fun of you in school, you know, whatever it may be, but you just carried that with you, or I carried it with me, and it hindered me from, you know, a lot of different things. And so that would probably be my biggest thing. Like learn how to tame that voice and always ask yourself, is this something I would tell my friend right now? And if I wouldn't say that to my friend, why am I speaking it to me? I'm just as valuable as my friend is, you know, and just knowing your worth and really believing that.
I love that. That is excellent advice. And I have to do the same thing. I'll admit that, because you're right. It doesn't always have to be a parent. It can be anybody, and it can be just multiple things throughout your life. But you have to, at some point, let it go and move forward. Yep. I do love that. I love quiet that voice. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a few fun questions, and you just answer real quick off the top of your head.
Okay.
Whatever comes to mind. So what is your favorite hobby or pastime?
I love to bake. So that is my hobby. I don't do it as often as I need to or should, just to have my own little downtime. But I do. I love to bake. I've always, ever since I was a little girl, I had two older brothers, and I used to think all their friends were cute, you know, so I wanted them to like me. So I would bake cookies for them, you know, and I'd be able to take them to them or whatever. I'd be like, ooh, I made you cookies. Uh-huh. So I started baking at a young age. And actually, one of my nieces, she loves to bake as well. So we've grown up, or she's grown up with me baking. And now, uh-huh. you know, we still look at this recipe. Let's do this. Let's try this. And then every Christmas, my five oldest nieces, we all get together and do a big Christmas baking cookie weekend.
Oh,
and
nice.
It is. It's fun. So it's just my little thing that I enjoy is baking.
What is your favorite thing to bake? What's your favorite
design? So I am a sweets, love sweets. So anything sweets, but I'm one of those sourdough girls now too. So I've been making sourdough bread a lot. And I've tried to cut back on the sugar. So now I'm trying to figure out like healthy ways to bake, but it just doesn't taste as good. So I have not mastered that yet. I am not going to lie. Every time I say, I'm like, nope, still not doing it for me. But cookies, cakes, whatever. But here's the thing. None of them look pretty. That is the thing. Like, I have not mastered the art of them looking pretty. I can tell you they taste good, but pretty, no.
What is your most requested?
My chocolate chip cookies.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I like to bake too. In fact, my bosses have offered to fire me and open me a bakery. But I just don't think I would enjoy it if I had to do it for a living. Like, I'm like, well, you, it's a stress reliever.
It's so funny you just said that, because literally my sister-in-law, Heather, she was telling me she was with her friend that opened up a bakery thing. And mm-hmm. she's like, I don't enjoy it now because I have to do it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, I never thought about that. So it's funny you said that.
Right. There are some things you enjoy doing that you wouldn't want to make a career out of. And then other things that, you know, they say if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life.
Yes.
There are other things that you would love to do all the time, no matter what. And for me, baking, kind of like you, it's a stress reliever. You just go in there and mess around the kitchen and voila, something yummy comes out of it. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so, what is your biggest pet peeve?
Do you want my list?
Yeah, I have a little bit of a list. So your top three.
So I don't enjoy disingenuous people.
That was very nicely said.
I And I know it happens a lot because it has to happen in some sense of our world, right? In any business right. world, for that matter, it is that. I have a hard time with it. And so again, like I said earlier, you spot it, you got it. Anything that's a pet peeve of mine is probably because I also own it and have partaked in, or was that the right word? Partake, I don't know. Anyways, I've been that person at some point and I'm aware of it now. So I'm like, ooh, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. But I would say that's probably my biggest one. Here's one. This is kind of a little funny, but I don't like women hoverers. And when I mean by hovers, I mean the women who hover at the toilet seat in the bathroom instead of using an actual toilet seat cover. It is like my biggest pet peeve. Like, we all gotta sit. Why you gotta hover? Like, please, just please don't leave the mess.
Yes.
And it is like every time I go to a woman's bathroom, I'm like, why? Why do you gotta do that? So mm-hmm. anyways, that's
because
probably,
it is a mess.
Right? Come on.
I don't comprehend that one either. I really
oh
don't.
Oh my gosh. I say it every time. I'm like, damn it, who did this?
So yeah, anyways, right. And do you do this at home? That's my question.
Sure. What's that?
Do you do this at home?
Right.
I mean, is that how you behave at home? Because,
yeah.
Ew, gross.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry.
No, I love it. Okay. If given the chance, what job would you love to try? Like any job in the world.
Oh, well, farmer. Like full-blown farming. Doing it all. I'm obsessed with animals. All kinds of animals. There's something about being outside in nature and growing your own food, sourcing your own food, that all of that just fascinates me. I know it's not always a very lucrative business Mm-mm. in that world, but it doesn't matter. It is something that I love it. I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah. We had a little garden for a while, and then we got chickens, and then we didn't have a garden.
I can tell you my chicken stories. They're not good.
But I do love to go out and just pick a tomato for a salad or,
yep.
you know, pick some lettuce and get a few things and throw them in on the grill or whatever. So I get that. I understand that. And again, don't let your chickens run your gardens because they will eat everything.
Good to know. Because I see all these things on Instagram that they say, oh, here, you can set up your chickens in your garden. So I'm glad you just told me
that. You have to protect your vegetables. So ducks are actually better. Just FYI, ducks won't eat the, once the plant's large enough, they won't eat it, but they'll eat all the little bad bugs and stuff in the grass and all, and they'll fertilize as they go.
Good to know.
Yeah, it's good to know. Chickens, you just have to keep it, make sure it's not something they can eat. It's not small enough, but and that the produce is actually too high for them to reach.
Gotcha. Good to
but,
know.
But they're pretty good at that too. Okay, so if you could have any superpower and it has to be kind of pointless, what would it be?
Oh, man.
And we can skip if you want to skip.
No, it's okay. I mean, pointless. I don't know if this is pointless, but this isn't pointless. It would be mind reading. I think I would love to be able to read people's minds. And that's not really a pointless one, but I just feel like it would be very cool to know what people really are thinking versus what comes out of their mouth.
But would it?
I don't know. I mean, it might be very alarming and scary. But I don't know, like when you're walking down, like I am obsessed with people watching. And so I will sit, you know, the best places like going to Vegas or the airport. I love just sitting and watching people. And I mean, there's just so many times I'm just like, ooh, what's really going on there? You know, what's going on in that person's head?
I do
right
understand
now?
What you're saying.
So I guess that's it. But I don't think there's anything else major that I can think of off the cuff that I would just, ooh, yeah.
Okay. So one more. If you were a kitchen or office appliance, kitchen appliance or office supply, which one would you be and why?
A gas stove. because I love to light a fire under people's asses to get them going. No, I like to give a spark. I love sparking people. I want people to, I don't know, like when I walk away from them, I would love for them to be, make them think, like give them something that they are like, oh, I've never thought of that before, or just lighten a little fire of empowerment or, you know, inspiration under them. So I think that that's why I think of just that sparking
stove. That's perfect. Well, so you guys have been doing this 21 years, you said?
It'll be 21 years in February, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so where do you see...
No, that's a lie. My bad. It'll be 20 years in February. Sorry. It'll be 2026. Yeah, we started in 2006. My bad.
Okay.
Let's make sure I'm right on the record there.
So where do you see the next leg of your journey taking you? Do you see this going in a different direction, or are you personally going in a different direction?
I think industry-wise... especially nowadays, our industry is definitely evolving in so many different directions.
And quickly.
Yes. So my thing is like just trying to stay ahead of the game in that realm, right? Like making sure we are aware of what's out there. We're, you know, utilizing anything that's out there that we can to keep us well-versed with whatever direction our industry ends up going. But what we focused on, Heather and I have focused on a lot this year for 2025, is really empowering our team and doing just different personal development things with them and working with them to help them grow as individuals, not just within the organization. Because I'm convinced that because everything is changing so quickly, you know, I feel like there's going to be a lot of people that are left with their caught with their pants down. I don't know how else to say it, you know, just in that, whoa, what is going on right now? And in all industries, not just ours alone, but, and I just want our group to feel empowered that they can and do and be anything they want, you know,
that's awesome.
Whether that's within the insurance or whatever their goal or dream is. So I currently just am putting a lot of focus in that, like just really empowering our people to grow beyond TSI, you know, wherever that leads them. And and we'll just roll with it as long as we can. And we're here. I'm here for however long we need to be.
That's awesome. I love that you sew back into your employees that give to you every day. So do you, as we come to a close, do you have any final remarks or a final takeaway? Like if there was one thing that the people listening got from this, what would you want it to be?
I think just having hope in, you know, something bigger than ourselves. I am a firm believer in God, Jesus, you know,
myself.
Am 100% that. And I know not everybody has that, right? And that hurts my heart sometimes because I'm like, man, how do people, you know, without that hope and having something, a higher power, but having some sort of resource that is bigger than the individual that they can rely on and help. Just because, again, there's a lot of lonely people out there that you would never know it because they might show up on camera happy and great. But deep down they're hurting, they're suffering, and they have nobody. And so, I think just being a light for others and, you know, the people like we were talking about in the beginning that have invested in us, just being willing to give back, you know, and doing the same thing for others in whatever realm that may be. It may be business, it may be personal, but, just seizing or using every opportunity that comes your way that you can do that. Try to do it. Cause I just feel like it comes back tenfold no matter what.
I agree. And I think that's very heartfelt and very wise. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I want to tell you, Joe, this has been a pleasure. I met your assistant, you know, at the National Flood Conference, and you were so busy talking, I didn't get to talk to you, but that's how we connected. And you're right, in this industry, just everywhere you connect. And I really appreciate you because I do know how busy you are. So I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join me on this today.
Well, like I told you the other day, I love what you are doing.
Well, thank you.
I think it is so awesome that you are, I've listened to some of the podcasts, and what I've loved is people that I know or have known. I don't maybe know them very well personally. I've learned something new about them, just listening to it. And I just think it's so great to empower women, for all of us to unite together in that, and help each other, because it is, it's an industry that there's so many opportunities, and it's growing more and more for women, and I love it. And I love what you're doing here for that. So thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be on here. It's a great opportunity. So I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And thank you. So thank you all for joining us. I will see you all next time on Connecting Women in Insurance with Julie.